Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Vav Amud Bet, that's 6b, about 10 lines down from the top, at the brand new Mishnah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the Daf HaShavua Foundation, OU Torah, and the OU Department of Synagogue Services. Now, this next Mishnah brings us back to the beginning of our tractate, and it connects to the first Mishnah which we had on Bet Amud Aleph. So just to review, the question is, what activities, specifically agricultural activities, are permitted on Chol HaMoed, on the intermediate days of the festival, and which are not? Now, we identified that our Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's basic opinion is that there are two factors related to what's allowed and not allowed on Chol HaMoed. The first factor is that it has to be a davar ha'aved, or in the way it calls it in the Mishnah, is a b'makom pseida, a loss, something that is going to be lost. If you don't water your field on Chol HaMoed, you're going to suffer an irretrievable loss. So when that's true, when there's a loss at hand, Rabbi Yehuda permits you to do agricultural work such as irrigating your field. However, even when there's a loss, mitrachinami lo tarchinan, you still can't do what's called tircha yetera. If something is too much effort and too much toil, you still can't do it on Chol HaMoed. So our Mishnah says that a field that needs to be irrigated, which we called a beit hashlachin, that needs to be irrigated, can be irrigated by connecting a channel or connecting a spring so that that spring will water the field, but it still can't be watered by using something that requires a whole lot of effort, like lowering a pail into a well and winching it up. So well water is too much effort, even b'makom seida, even in a case where it's a loss. And on the other hand, if you have a sadeh beit habal, you have a field that doesn't require irrigation, then you may not irrigate it, even in a way that doesn't require so much effort. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It has two elements. It has to be a matter of loss, and it can't be that much labor and toil. However, there were two other opinions that are connected to that Mishnah as well. One of the opinions is Rabbi Meir, who is the most lenient opinion and is associated with the opinion of the Chachamim. That is the majority opinion. And Rabbi Meir's opinion is that it doesn't have to only be in a makom pseida. It can even be in a makom harvacha if you're just creating a profit. So Rabbi Meir allows you to irrigate both a beit hashlachin and a beit habal, both a field that requires irrigation and a field that doesn't. And he requires you to expend a certain amount of effort related to it. However, it does seem like the Chachamim do draw a line related to the amount of effort that you can put into it, because we have a rule, Ein osin et ha'ama bitchila. The rabbis do not allow you to dig from scratch a new irrigation channel on Chol HaMoed, presumably because it is too much effort and too much work to do. So even the rabbis will draw a line at some point, but that line is specifically related to something that is too much effort and not related to whether or not it is a davar ha'aved or not. And the rabbis do allow it in when it's needed for the public good, but other than that, they would not allow it. And finally, we have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who is particularly focused on whether it's a matter of loss or not. So anytime it is a matter of loss, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov allows you to do the work in order to fix it, but not if it's a case of profit. So he would only allow a beit hashlachin, an irrigated field, a field that requires irrigation, and not a beit habal. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does not say anything, or does not seem to say anything, about how much effort you're allowed to put into it. Anyway, that is one way of reading the three opinions. So one opinion focuses on the loss, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. One opinion focuses on the effort, that's Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And one opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, puts the two together and says we have to think about both the loss and the effort. And let's keep that in mind as we read this Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Moshchinat ha'mayim me'ilan le'ilan. We may direct water from one tree to another tree. So what we had, as we discussed earlier, is little circular ditches around a tree. And those circular ditches may be filled with water. And you can direct a channel, a little channel, from one tree to the other so that all the trees in the field have water surrounding their bases. And we're assuming here that if you don't irrigate these trees, you will suffer an irretrievable loss on Chol HaMoed. Ubilvad, only shelo yashked kol hasadeh, but you are not allowed to irrigate the entire field. The assumption here, and this is how Rashi explains it, is that the rest of the field does not have to be watered. It's a Beit Habal. So since it is not an irretrievable loss to water the whole field, you can't water the whole field. But since the trees are an irretrievable loss, then you can water them. Here's the second teaching, and according to Tosfot, this is also Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Zraim shelo shatu lifnei ha-moed, lo yishakem b'moed. Any seeds or seedlings that you did not irrigate before the festival, lo yishakem b'moed, you cannot water them on the festival. And the presumption here, according to Rashi, is that if you didn't irrigate them before the festival, they don't need to be irrigated on the festival. You're not going to suffer a loss by not irrigating them. However, according to that opinion, if it was a situation where you ought to have irrigated them before the festival and you didn't, or you didn't think you needed to irrigate them, but you do, and if you don't, then there will be a loss, then you would be able to irrigate them on the festival, presumably. This is just a general guideline that if you didn't irrigate them before the festival, that's a sign that they don't really need to be irrigated. And then the final line of the Mishnah, v'chachami matirim bazeu bazeh, the sages, which we associated with Rabbi Meir, they permit both opinions. In other words, they permit you to water the entire field, not just the trees, against Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and they permit you to water a field even if you didn't water it before the Yom Tov. So Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are much more lenient. Now there is another way to read this Mishnah, which is a different take than the way we explained it. The other way to read this Mishnah is that it is about tircha, where what we're saying is the reason that you can water the trees is because drawing a channel from tree to tree does not require a lot of effort. It's no tircha at all. And this is how the Rambam reads it, actually, it seems like. Because the Rambam, and the same thing would be true of not watering them before the festival. The Rambam says, Zraim shelo shatu lifnei ha-moed, this is in his Perush HaMishnayot, the explanation of the Mishnahs. He says, any seedlings that were not watered before the moed, lo yishakem b'moed, you cannot water them on the moed, lefi shehem tzrichim mayim rabim. Because if you didn't water them before the festival, you're going to have to extra water them now. You're going to have to put extra effort into it. So that way of reading it is trying to identify Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov with forbidding things that require too much effort. This doesn't seem to me to be the way that we read it on Daf Bet Amud Aleph. In Daf Bet Amud Aleph, the Gemara said that that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, it says, Imor Dishmaitle Rabbi Elazar Harvacha Delo, that you could say that Rabbi Elazar says you're not allowed to make a profit on Chol HaMoed, you're only allowed to forestall a loss. Tircha b'makom seidem mishmatle, but who said that he required anything to do with tircha? So Rambam would have to read that Gemara in a different way. There is a different way to read it, but it doesn't seem, it's a very different than the way that we constructed it. So I'm just mentioning that there is another way to read it. Whenever we read things about Chol HaMoed, you can either look at them through the lens of Davar Ha'aved, of a loss, or through the lens of Tircha Yetera, of excessive effort. Okay, starting the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Im haita sadeh mitunenet, if it is a moist field, mutar, then it is permitted to irrigate the entire field. So what it seems like, according to Rashi, what Rav Yehuda is talking about here is the situation that we mentioned, where you had a field that was moist before the holiday, and that's why you didn't water it. And now it suddenly dried up, or the spring dried up, and it needs to have more moisture added to it. So in that situation where suddenly it's a loss, but it wasn't going to be a loss beforehand, then you're allowed to irrigate it, and you're even allowed to irrigate the entire field, even if it was, prior to this, a Beit Habal. Now, according to this, the Rif says that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because he says, already we established the first Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, and here Rabbi Yehuda is explaining Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, so it seems like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda go together, and therefore we paskin like them, and against the Chachamim, who are the lenient opinion. Tosfot gives another reason why we may paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which is that we have a tradition that the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar was Kav Naki. He doesn't frequently appear in the Mishnah, but almost every time that he appears, we paskin like him. And in fact, it seems like the Rambam does paskin like him. However, and that's in chapter 8, Perek Chet Halacha Gimel of Hilchot Yom Tov, but the Ravid takes exception with him and says, why is it so clear to you that you should paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who after all is a Das Yachid, against the Chachamim? But it does seem like that is the opinion of most of the Halacha, both the Rif and the Rambam, paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But in the Mishnah Berurah in Tav Kuf Lamed Zayin, they do add in that Tircha Yetera is still forbidden if watering the field is real Tircha Yetera, then it would still be forbidden. Okay, we're going to move on. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that teaches similarly to Rav Yehuda. Kisha Amru Asar Lahashkotan B'moed, when they said that it was forbidden to irrigate the field on Chol HaMoed, Lo Amru, they didn't say it, Ela Bizraim Shelo Shatu Melifne HaMoed, they only said it regarding seedlings that you did not irrigate them before the holiday. Avazraim Sheshatu Lifne HaMoed, but if you had seedlings that you did water before the festival, mutar lahashkotan b'moed, then it is permitted to irrigate them on the moed, which was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the second part of the Mishnah. V'im haidas sadeh mitunenet, and if it was a moist field, mutar, then it was permitted, meaning even if you didn't water it before the festival, if it had been, because it was moist at that time, but then it dried out, then you would be permitted to water it even on the festival. And then it says, V'ein mashkin sadeh greed b'moed, and you are not allowed to irrigate a dry field on the moed. But the sages permitted both watering the field even if you didn't water it before the festival, and also watering a dry field. Amar Ravina. Ravina said, Shma Mina, learn from this braita that we just learned. Hai tarbitza, if you have a vegetable patch, which is just a little patch of vegetables, share litarbutze, you can sprinkle water on them, bechula demuada, on Chol HaMoed. That seems to be the meaning of tarbutze, is to just sprinkle a little bit of water on it. That's how Tosfot seems to say it. Sade greed my taima, but a dry field, what is the reason? Now, there is an ambiguity here in the Gemara. It doesn't say here whether it's going according to the opinion of the sages or the opinion of the Tanakhama. Meaning when it says, what is the reason for a dry field, is it going according to the opinion that it's permitted to water the dry field or not permitted to water the dry field? And then the answer isn't clear either. De afla, because the fruits that were going to ripen later in the season, mashvile charfa, they become earlier, meaning by watering the fruits, they're going to ripen quicker. Now, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Is it a good thing because then you're going to eat them on the festival, so anything that is letzarche moed, if it's for the immediate need, you can do it? Or is it a bad thing? You're creating a harvacha, you are profiting from it, but you're not forestalling a loss. So it's a little unclear what it means. Hachinami afla mashvila charfa. So the same thing will be here too. By watering a dry field, you're simply making it blossom quicker. If it's a good thing, then we're supporting Ravina's opinion that you're allowed to sprinkle water onto a vegetable patch. If it's a bad thing, then we're rejecting Ravina's opinion. In the end, I believe that we paskin like Ravina, that you can sprinkle the water on the vegetable patch because we assume that it is for the sake of eating those vegetables on the holiday itself. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Mar bitzin sde lavan bashvi'it. You may water a field of grain on the Shvi'it, which is not Chol HaMoed, but it is the sabbatical year. There is a dispute here between Rashi and Tosfot as to whether marbitzin means to water very lightly or to water fully as an irrigation. They read the Gemara differently. There's a lot of reading of this Gemara differently. It's not, the Gemara is somewhat ambiguous, but we're going to try and keep it on Rashi's reading. So you may lightly water a grain field on the sabbatical year, avalo b'moed, but not on Chol HaMoed. V'ha Tanya, but did not we learn in a Braita, marbitzin, bein b'moed, bein b'shvi'it. We have another Braita that says that you can water it both on Chol HaMoed and Shvi'it. So we have contradictory teachings. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, lo kasha, there is no contradiction between these two sources. Ha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, one of them is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. In other words, he would say that you're not allowed to water, to lightly water the grain field on Chol HaMoed. He's Machmir. Ha, Rabbanan, and the other one is the rabbis. The rabbis and Rabbi Meir, who we saw are much more lenient, they would say that you are permitted to water the field on Chol HaMoed. Tanya Idach, we have another teaching, another Braita. Marbitzin ste lavan erev shvi'it, you may water or lightly water a grain field before Shvi'it starts. As we saw earlier, there are certain activities that you're not allowed to do even at the end of the sixth year because they're being done in the sixth year, but the result is supposed to happen in the seventh year, which is already Shemitah. But it says you're permitted to lightly water this grain field erev Shvi'it, before Shvi'it starts, kidei sheyatzu yirakot b'Shvi'it, in order for the vegetables to come up on Shvi'it. V'lo od, and moreover, you can even lightly water the field on Shvi'it, on the sabbatical year, in order for the vegetables to come out after Shvi'it is over. The only thing you're not allowed to do is to actually work the field on the sabbatical year so that you can harvest it on the sabbatical year itself. And we'll see, even there, it is possible to do it. It's just that cultivating your crops on the sabbatical year is not allowed. It's not that you're not allowed to do anything to allow the field to survive or to even to allow it to grow fruits. It's just that you're not allowed to take ownership over it. That brings us to the Mishnah at the bottom of Avamubet, and we'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.